Amen. Great. Okay. Well, it's great to be here this morning. It's great to be standing up front. I've survived a couple of things already to get here. I survived Carrie and I trying to put up that screen. It was pitiful, particularly on my part. And I was trying not to get my black trousers dirty. And then I thought, oh, I've survived that. And then I was talking to Peter Kingston, and he pretty much threw his cup of coffee at me, and I dodged out the way of that. I'm like, oh, everyone's out to get me this morning, or at least my white and black. But I've survived that. Okay, so the church, the body of Christ. So it's my pleasure to be the first one to speak in a 6 series on what is the church. So what is the church? We're going to be asking that question and wrestling with that through a few different topics over the next 6 weeks. The first one being the church, the body of Christ. Now, before I get going, number one, let me put my timer on. And secondly, let me tell you a little story. So I want to tell you a story about my body. It's not a fantastic specimen, but a couple of years ago, it came under quite a bit of attack. So I ended up, I've had tonsillitis a few times before, and it was kind of around cold season, and I was kind of like thinking, oh, I think I've got tonsillitis coming again. And I went to the doctor first time, and the doctor basically said, man up, you just got a cold, get on with it. I'm like, okay, fine. So then it got a bit worse. A few days later, I went to the doctor again, and they were like, it's not tonsillitis, you've got mucus blocked in your whatever, the things that connect your sinuses, thank you. You've got mucus blocked in your sinuses, and here's a balloon with a little instrument that you're going to blow hard out of your nose and inflate the balloon and push the mucus out. Okay, if you say so. So I started doing this. Basically, pain was getting worse, pain was growing, earache, things were swelling, it wasn't looking good. Pretty soon, I stopped being able to swallow, which meant no food. And then it got so bad, I was really struggling even to drink water. So I basically got to the point where I was like, this is obviously serious. So I went to see the doctor. I wrote out a long note. I could no longer speak. I could no longer eat. I could no longer drink. I was running a high fever. I was really in a bit of a mess. So I wrote out this note to the doctor saying, this is what's happened. This is what I've been told. Help. And she basically said, ah, you do need to go straight to hospital now. You've got something called quinsy. So for those of you who don't know what quinsy is, it's basically aggravated tonsillitis. It's an abscess that grows in the back of on your tonsils and seizes everything up. So it was horrible. I was like, oh. So I needed to get to hospital, but Laura was looking after the kids, and a friend of ours, a dear friend of ours, Elaine, had previously said, do you know, if you need some help, Dave, just let me know, like help with the kids or help going to the hospital. So I was like, oh. So basically, I text Elaine, going, Elaine, is there any chance that you could take me to the hospital? Now, and Elaine texts back saying, sure thing. I'm going to be half an hour because I'm with Kerry. I was like, cool. Elaine's with Kerry. But don't worry, we're going to take you to the hospital. So Kerry and Elaine came and picked me up, and I'm a bit of a wreck, and I go to the hospital, and I'm sitting there. I'm running a fever. I'm sweating. I'm going a little bit delirious. I haven't drunk in 24 hours. I haven't eaten in 48 hours. And I'm in a bit of a state, basically, and there's long queues. So Elaine's kind of going up to the nurses and breaking them, going, this young man needs looking to. What are you going to do about it? And I'm just going, give me a drip, please. So I'm sort of losing the plot a bit in hospital. Obviously, I'm not really thinking about what it looks like, a man in his mid-30s, two ladies who aren't old enough to be his mother but aren't young enough to be. And it probably looked quite strange. But anyway, so I'm there. And mercifully, I get in, and I get looked at, and this is what it looks like. I thought you'd all like to see that. This is what my tonsils look like. So you see those big pussy things? That was the abscess. And what they had to do, they had to get a syringe in there and stab and drain each and every one of those. Oh, it was beautiful. Sorry, I know some of you don't want to look at that anymore. So, anyway. The thing I didn't realize, I recovered, I survived. About a week later, it transpires that Kerry and Elaine spent most of the day in hospital on Kerry's birthday. I had no idea. But you know what? That's the sort of servants that we have, in this church. So, anyway, it doesn't relate directly to my talk, but I wanted to share that story with you and show that picture with you. Okay, I want to ask you, the body of Christ, I'm going to talk about what does it mean for us to be the body of Christ and why does it matter? But before I do, I want to hear from you. What terms do you use to describe church to other people? Because I'm guessing most of you probably don't say, I'm going to the body of Christ this morning in Maidenhead. It's going to be good. So just shout out, what sort of terms do you use? How do you describe church? Family? Friendship? God's people? Community? House of the Lord? Support? God in people? Okay, so what about and when you describe coming here, if you're talking to people who are meeting, or you're talking to a meeting, okay, church meeting, a service. Okay, so all of these sort of words are the sort of things we would regularly use. I would probably use something like family or community. That would probably resonate, or at least for people who aren't part of church, that would be something they could hold on to. But body of Christ is a very important expression of what church looks like. And actually, Paul, who wrote a great amount of the New Testament, really felt this was important. His letters to churches repeatedly talked about the body of Christ. This is to the church in Corinth. When we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? And though we're many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we are one body. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. So that's to the church in Corinth, to the church in Colossae. He's also the head of the body, that's Jesus, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church. To the church in Ephesus, instead we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. It was important. The body of Christ, that expression appears 50 times in the New Testament. Most of those are referencing the church being the body of Christ. So it might not be what we would use to describe River Church to our friends or our family, but it is important, and I want to look at why. But I also want to say, for those of you who've been in a body of Christ talk, this is not a typical body of Christ talk. I'm not going to be focusing on how we're all parts of the body and all members have value and worth. That's a great talk, but it's someone else's talk. Okay, I'm going to be looking at three points. I believe in the power of three. But you know what? I also believe that there's only so much we can digest on a Sunday morning. So I want you to be listening to God and allowing him to focus on just one. I will not be offended if at the end of this talk you go, Dave, I can't remember points one and two, but I'm taking home point three and I'm doing something about it. That is success, in my view. So I want you just be, don't worry about everything. Allow God to focus in. What's the one thing that he's drawing your attention to, that he's speaking to you about? Oh, to the church in Rome. Let's not forget them. Jesus, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Okay, point number one. A body is more than a collection of me's. So the word body in the Greek, suma, translates as a sound whole. So if something is a sound whole, it's not just a collection of individual parts that come together. It is a sound whole. So this picture is of something that is more than just a collection of individual parts or a collection of me. Now, I think this is a spiritual reality that, if we're honest, kind of jars against probably our culture a bit and jars against some of the things that we perhaps take on as part of living in 21st century Britain. Words like be yourself, express yourself, do your own thing, don't conform, follow your own path, think different. Those are all the sort of phrases and expressions that we would probably carry with us quite easily day to day. And in one sense, there's no problem with it, except They all point us away from a whole that we're a part of, and they point us to ourselves, me, my way. Let me translate that into a church thing. Have you ever caught yourself thinking or saying any of these? And I have. I'm just not getting what I need from church right now. I don't feel like I'm being fed. I'm not quite sure it's for me. Those sort of feelings and thoughts are completely valid. And some of you might be thinking them now. I hope not. What I'm trying to get us to is realizing that actually there are many things that we need to be set free from. Many things we need to be set free from, you know, and that Christ can set us free from. But actually, the body of Christ isn't one of them. The body of Christ is not something that we need to be set free from. The body of Christ is something that we need to be drawn to and be a part of. And actually, it does sometimes cut against that sense of individualism that our culture gives. C.S. Lewis, he's a man. He's an author, a writer. He wrote the Narnia Chronicles, and someone who influenced my journey of faith greatly. He says this: Christianity sets its face relentlessly against our natural individualism. On the other hand, it gives back to those who abandon individualism an eternal possession of their own personal being, even of their bodies. As organs in the body of Christ, as stones and pillars in the temple, we are assured of our eternal self-identity and shall live to remember the galaxies as an old tale. There's something bigger going on than me. There's something bigger going on than me. We are together the body of Christ. And do you know what? I think behind, there are many reasons why we come to church, many valid reasons, like our own spiritual growth and having our own needs met. But do you know what I believe? Deep down, at the core, the reason we come is because we need to belong. We need to belong to something bigger than ourselves. That is at the core of what being church is about. And that thing that we belong to is Christ's body. One Corinthians says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I love this verse. I've kind of always loved this verse. I think ever since I kind of got what the point of church was, this has been an exciting verse for me. I'm going to talk about suffering in a minute. For a moment, I want to talk about rejoicing. And I want to say to you, there's some good news. Being part of the body of Christ is good news. Here we are. Some of us are out there on the streets, Santa's on the high street, and then some of us are running Larchfield Ladybirds, a play group on Larchfield Estate, and some of us are there in the Larchfield Festival last summer. Here's the good news. Every single one of us, whether we were there at one of those events or not, we rejoice together. We own it together. The body of Christ was present there. Do you know what? Maybe being out on the high street and wearing a Santa outfit isn't your thing. I can't understand why personally, but that's okay. Maybe you were on holiday during the festival. I would have loved everyone to be there, but I'm also kind of saying it doesn't matter. All of us rejoice. All of us rejoice because we were there. It's a collective. It's a whole. And it's something that we have to get our heads around. It's so hard. We think of ourselves individually, but actually that verse says, we all rejoice. When Larchfield Festival happened, we all rejoiced, whether you were in the Bahamas or whether you were in the park in Larchfield. Okay, so that's number one. A body is more than just a collection of me's. Okay, second point. A body is painfully connected. Now, before I talk about this, I just want to make a distinction, I think a clarification that's important, and that is this: there is only one body of Christ. And it is a little bit confusing because you can read the verses and you can kind of go, okay, so is each individual church a body of Christ, and therefore there's lots of bodies, or are we all sort of, each church is a part of the body, or do you get what I'm saying? So there is only one body of Christ. Nowhere in the Bible do any of the authors lapse into bodies, plural. Churches, plural, yes. Bodies, plural, no. There is one body of Christ. We are a local expression of that body. And yes, when Paul writes to the believers in Corinthians, he talks about each member as an individual being part of the body. So obviously that analogy has a bit of flex, but the point I really want to emphasize here is that we are one body of Christ. And if we are one body of Christ, that stretches across the globe. I mean, if they do ever find aliens and aliens believe in Jesus, it will stretch there too. So it's a universal body of Christ. It is only one body. I wasn't going to do this, but there's been a bit of a theme running this morning, which I've picked up on, and I think the Lord is in. I want to ask those of you who, excuse me, those of you who whose main church home is not River Church, I'd like you to stand up. So if your main church home is not River Church, but you've come occasionally, or you're here for a short transition period, or you're just visiting, but you know you're going to be going back somewhere else, stand up. I want to honor all of you guys. I want to honor you guys who are part of Catholic churches, who are part of Methodist churches, who go to Baptist churches, who go to Pentecostal churches, who go to little house churches that don't have a name. We are all one body of Christ together. I thought it was so powerful that we were praying for the Catholic Church in Poland. That was so cool. And so I just want to honor you. I want to say you're always welcome at River, but more importantly than that, you're always welcome because you're part of the body of Christ. Amen. Yeah, do you know what? It's so important. Yeah, I could go on about church unity and how we get into factionalism and why we need to start slagging off other churches of different denominations. It's just, we are all one body of Christ. Okay, a body is painfully connected. Let me tell you a brief story. For several years, I worked for a charity called Samaritan's Purse, and I was responsible for their marketing. And we just started a new project in Swaziland. You might not have heard of Swaziland. It's a very small country in between Mozambique and South Africa. And the head of that project flew over to the UK for the first time. And I sat down with him to try and find out what we could base a fundraising campaign on for the work they were doing in Swaziland. Now, at that time, Swaziland had the highest prevalence of HIV and AIDS in all of Africa. It was a big problem. So I said to him, Wandi was his name. I said, Wandi, okay, talk to me. Tell me what's your message that you want to bring to the church in the UK? And I will think about that. That could be a campaign. And he said, oh, it's quite simple, Dave. It's this. The body of Christ in Swaziland, we're hurting. Body of Christ is hurting. The little pinky of the body of Christ is hurting. Do you feel our pain? I had never thought of it like that. This man had flown over from a small country where he looked after churches, and he said, body of Christ in Swaziland is in pain. Do you feel it? Because if we're all part of the same body, and we all rejoice when one part rejoices, and we all suffer when one part suffers. Are we suffering? Are we feeling their pain? And that is still a challenge to us today. Because the reality is, being part of that global body of Christ, we just stood up and it was great and we affirmed it and people clapped. The other side of it is, we can't shut our eyes off to what's going on in Iraq and Syria, in North Korea, all over the world. We can't shut our eyes to it. Being a body means feeling the pain. That's a picture of a church, abandoned, derelict, in Syria. All the congregants have fled. It doesn't meet anymore. What's left behind is quite symbolic. And here is a map. And it doesn't paint a good picture. Okay, Some of those places will be worse than others in terms of Christians being persecuted for their faith, churches being attacked. But in all of those places, you are right up against it, being a believer. You are right up against it trying to meet on a Sunday morning. In fact, in some of those places, you don't meet. You don't meet. It doesn't happen. And there's some pretty shocking statistics down there as well. Each month, 322 Christians killed for their faith, 214 churches and Christian properties destroyed, 772 forms of violence committed against Christians. In lots of places in the world right now, the body of Christ is in pain. I'm asking a challenging question of us right here this morning. Are we feeling it? Are we aware it's happening? Could you cue up the video, Andy? I've got a brief video that I want to share with you because I think it makes this personal. Maps, statistics are great, but actually it's when we can see, look into someone else's eyes and see that they're like me. That's when it makes sense. So this is a short video from Open Doors looking at the state of the body of Christ in Iraq and Syria.
This is Iraq. This is Syria, a landscape of devastation, where Islamic State extremists are trying to destroy the historic church, where following Jesus makes you a target. This is Munira, a follower of Jesus. She had to flee when Islamic State militants occupied the village she called home. Islamic State soldiers killed one of her neighbors who refused to convert to their view of Islam. Munira escaped death, but lost everything she owned. Her past has been taken from her. Her future is unknown. This is Iraq and Syria. And who will shine a light for these people as the darkness closes in? This is a light. This is a church. A church which is home to hundreds of families who fled Islamic State. This is Douglas.
No one likes to call this camp. Actually, we call this as a home to the people here, and they are welcome. And actually, it is an honor to serve them and to help them. Became one family. And when you feel that you are among the others, already you start, you are belong to that place, and you are not just belong as a number, but as a member.
When the storm broke and Islamic State forces invaded, Christians from Mosul came here with nothing. Within 12 hours, Open Doors was able to bring help. And since then, the grounds of Douglas's church have become a haven, a sanctuary. Thanks to Open Doors supporters, people have shelter and food. Trained counselors help the children to overcome the trauma and the nightmares, to learn how to be children again. There's food for the body. There's food for the soul. There are stoves and blankets to help them face the bitter cold of winter. There is hope and love.
You know, people, when you show them or give them not just love, but dignity, believe me, the result is 10 times, you know, more than you offer to them.
These are just some of the 19,000 families in Syria and Iraq who are depending on Open Doors for their survival. Douglas and his church have not given up on them, and neither have we.
I put it in three words. Pray for us, help us, save us. Without prayer, we cannot make it. Help us, because love is mean action. Without action, it is not love. Save us, please.
In Iraq and Syria, the church is a light in the darkness. We cannot stand by and watch that light be extinguished. They are our family. And this is the hour of their greatest need.
And this is the hour of their greatest need. You know, it's hard. We are removed. were probably thinking, oh, but if I just stand up for the Christians, it'll make me look like I'm just kind of parochial, and it's not just Christians who are getting persecuted, but that isn't the point. This is our family. This actually runs deeper than family. It's the body of Christ, and this is their hour of need. So I do want to challenge you all, particularly those of you who feel God just tapping you on the heart about this. What are you going to do? Like the pastor said, love without action ultimately isn't love at all. You know, open doors, do great work. There's lots of praying needing to be done. There's a petition which is heading to Parliament to call what's happening in Iraq and Syria genocide, actually get it recognized as genocide, which will actually force political leaders to have a different type of debate about it. You can sign that online as well. There are things you can do. But yes, this is their hour, the hour of their greatest need. Okay. Lastly, third point. A body is lost without its head. Not surprising, a body cannot survive without a head. A chicken can survive a little bit of time without a head, but not very long. As I was doing this talk, I randomly found a story about a headless chicken that survived 18 months. A lot of you know this story. Obviously, it's gone down in the folklore. Don't know how, but the general point I'm trying to make is that a body can't survive without its head. And the church is the same. We need a head to survive. And the Bible makes it really clear who that head is. Is that head Kerry? You're all meant to say no. It's good. This is working. Is that head Colin? Is that head the Pope? Is that head the Archbishop of Canterbury? You're slowly getting there. Who's the head of the body of Christ? Jesus. Absolutely. It's Jesus. Here are some verses showing, actually make it really clear, the head of the body is Jesus. And we're probably touching on one of the most important aspects of the body of Christ and why it matters and what does it mean. And that's around this, membership. Now, membership is not a word that we use lots at River. We don't have official membership like some churches do, where you have to sign something or get voted in, all that kind of stuff. People are invited to belong, and that's great. But there is a distinction between the community of River Church and the body of Christ. And it's a pretty simple distinction. The community of River Church, all of you here are welcome. Every single person in here is welcome to be part of the community here at River Church. It's an ethos, a DNA, a culture, I don't know how we'd want to put it. It is part of who we are. We accept people as they are at the door. You are all welcome to belong to that community. Assume you don't do anything illegal, that kind of thing. The body of Christ is different. The body of Christ, we don't set the criteria for. Jesus sets the criteria for the body of Christ. And it is, to be part of his body, you have to let Jesus be the head. And that means first letting him be the head of your life. It's no use saying, hey guys, I'm part of this body. Isn't it great being part of the body? Not too sure about that guy at the head. Don't even know if he exists. I'm not sure I'm going to follow him. We can't have parts of our body rebelling against where our head is leading us. It won't work. And it's the same with the body of Christ. To be part of the body of Christ, we each individually need to first make that decision that Jesus is our Lord, that he's our head, that we're committing our lives to him. We've invited him into our heart. That's how it works. It isn't a thing to exclude anyone, because we don't exclude. You're all welcome to be part of the community of River Church. It's just a spiritual reality. You can't be part of the body of Christ until you've accepted Christ into your own life. So for some of you here, that's going to be your challenge. That's going to be, maybe you've been on a bit of a journey, checking Jesus out, figuring out what it means to believe in him and to follow him. And actually today, he's knocking on that door going, this one, it's this point. This is the one for you. Okay, I want to go into a bit of a response time, which I'm going to ask my brother in the Lord, Andy, to come and lead. I hope we've all been challenged today. I don't come up here just to make you feel nice, to tell stories and show you pictures of my tonsils. I hope you've had a challenge, and I hope it hasn't just come from me. I hope it's actually come from the Lord. I just want to give us all a chance to respond individually. Obviously, is that going against point one, Dave? No. Ultimately, our journeys always start with us individually. Where they end, where they join, is then that bigger thing. So I want to ask you now to go to your own heart and ask the question, what's God been speaking to me about this morning? Well, hopefully it's part of my talk, but actually it could well be some of the other great stuff that's happening this morning. What's God saying to me? I'm just going to ask Andy to play a bit of music over us, and then I'd like us to do something together as a body to respond right at the end.